You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
This week, Chuck and I will be sitting here with Bruce Dickinson from the rock band Iron Maiden. Bruce, welcome to the show.
It's good to have you here.
Bruce, is Final Frontier the longest album you've ever recorded?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 70-something minutes. Yeah, there's some very long songs in it. I think if you listen to El Dorado, you will have absolutely no idea what this album sounds like.
What was the intent for the song that was put out? Was it a teaser or what was it?
Well, because it was the only one we could put out that would, I think, make people feel comfortable. Because if you put out Final Frontier, the title track, even the 4-minute, you know, edited version of the, you know, of it. If you put out Final Frontier, people would think we were making a classic rock record. If you put out Coming Home, people would think, oh my God, it's, you know, they're doing a Scorpions. It's going to be an album that's going to be full of whistling. You know, if you put out, you know, When the Wild Wind Blows, people would be going, oh my God, they've lost their minds. You know, so we just pulled out El Dorado because it just starts off and goes dun 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 and has a big chorus and sounds like Maiden. So we thought we'd put that one out first and wait for the album, because the album is a big surprise.
In what sense?
It's just very, very varied. And I think the very opening introduction, you know, you think you might have stumbled onto a Radiohead outtake or something, or, you know, because of the synths and the drums and the sort of like tribal drumming and stuff. So people listening to that are going to go, "Whoa, what's happening next?" Then it goes in with Final Frontier, and the first bit of the album sounds, yeah, so I suppose fairly traditional, and then it starts to diverge into some bits which are quite proggy and very epic, some bits which are quite jazzy, some bits that sound like jams, you know. I mean, it's a very cool album.
There's also a lot of folk style elements as well on the record, isn't there?
It's quite a few folky bits as well. Yeah, the bits end, the beginning of The Talisman, but then The Talisman turns into basically sort of almost like a 7-minute version of The Trooper. I mean, it rocks. It's fantastic.
Bruce, you also haven't done a solo album for more than 5 years. Is that something that you're still interested in doing in the future?
No, I haven't done one for 5 years. And to be honest with you, I can't see where there's any time or space to do one at the moment, because my time's in between Maiden World. I'm taking time off from music, basically.
So you're called a polymath for a reason.
And what is that definition?
It's a bloke who does a lot of shit.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that with age, the timbre of your voice, the color of your voice has changed?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, there's some notes on, there's plenty of notes on the album that are still getting up there, you know. So I'm quite happy, you know. This shows no sign of falling off the edge on stage either, you know. So as you could hear last night.
Do you find it humorous for singers that have to endlessly warm up?
I don't know what I'd do for an hour. I'd go to sleep. I think I'd be bored. I'd have done the gig by then, you know. I mean, you know, I just think a voice is. Voice is like a, you know, it's like a motor car engine. You know, you've got so many miles in your engine, you know, got so many miles in the pistons and the cylinders and everything else before you need to have them replaced or do some. And once you do that, then it's never the same. I just figure that, you know, use your engine, you know, use your engine when you need it, and then leave it alone. Put it in the garage. Look after it, you know, and then bring it out again when you need it, you know. So people say, well, what vocal training do you do? And I went, well, none, you know. Before a tour, I go out and I think, okay, I've got to get my voice in shape in rehearsals. I get it in shape, you know. I sing, and when I start to feel it tightening up or getting tired, because the muscles get tired, then I go, okay, guys, I'm just going to kind of talk my way through the rest of the set. And I come back tomorrow and I do a little bit more and do another couple of songs. And so then after about 4 or 5 days, I'm getting through the whole set. And then I say, okay, yeah, so now I'm just getting through it. Well, now we're going to get through it, and now we're going to add something. Now we're going to add some more power. you know, and you then now you really start to exercise it like a muscle, you know, you build it and build it. And then you go and do the first shows, and no matter what you do in rehearsal, you can rehearse till you're dead, and you will never sing as hard as you do when you go out live and do it for real. So the first three or four shows are always, now you're getting your on the road voice. Because rehearsals is nice. It's the same place every day, the same time every day, same environment. Well, now on the road, you're traveling, you've got different atmospheres, environments, conditions, all kinds of other stuff. So you build your voice up. But I've done it for so long that I can hopefully control the sense of panic. and I'm aware of it. It's like, okay, here comes the sense of hopelessness, panic, and fear. Ignore that. Put it to one side and go, there's a reason why stuff isn't happening. Figure it out. And you figure out it's the monitors, or it might be the microphone. I've been working with a new microphone this year. So we say, hey guys, what's the deal with it? We replaced the microphone yesterday. This is a different one to the one you had yesterday. I said, well, this one doesn't sound as good. Okay, what's wrong with it? So you have to tell them, and they'll tweak it. So they think, hey, that sounds like me now. Great. But don't panic. If you panic, then the worst thing you can do as a singer is panic, because everything tightens up. It's like an athlete. Everything, soon everything gets tight, you've lost.
I agree. Is it physically challenging to you to perform on a very demanding tour?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it hurts. It hurts. I mean, I have a... me and Steve, actually, we have a physio before the show to sort of put us back together, which is great. It works. I tell you what, for all the, you know, aches and pains, I mean, you know, obviously these are concrete stages, so doing all those running and jumping and everything else like that, you're landing on concrete. So, you know, your feet, ankles and things and your back takes a really big pounding. You know, it all comes back together again. You know, I mean, I'm used to looking after my body and also not looking after my body. You know, I mean, the only reason to look after your body is so you can destroy it a bit enjoyably. This is this thing. It's always got me, this idea that you should be fit, healthy, clean living. And I think, why? You know, if you're fit and healthy, surely you should be able to abuse yourself. That's the reason to be fit and healthy. You know, if you're not fit and healthy, you really don't abuse yourself, because you'll die. But be fit and healthy so you can go and have some fun with your body. That's the only reason you have a body. You know,
so obviously you have no plans on quitting anytime soon.
Yeah, well, that's a big motivation for keeping yourself in shape.
Till they send you home in a box.
Till they send me home in a box, absolutely. You know, I mean, there is, you know, you know, I look after myself because, I mean, I enjoy going drinking beer. I enjoy being able to run around on stage. I enjoy being able to still, you know, fence and stuff, you know, back in England. So, I have fun. I don't think about not being able to walk up the stairs. I don't think about, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I just don't, you know, I just jump on my bicycle and go and cycle somewhere and get there. And I just don't think, wow, it hurts so much I can't get out of bed in the morning. If it hurts in the morning when I get out of bed, it just hurts. Get on with it. You know, it's like you talk to athletes, and athletes live with pain constantly, all the time. If you're an athlete, it's going to hurt. and you just got to get over it. And if you're going to do what I do on stage, bits of you are going to hurt. Get over it, you know? It's worth it.
Let me ask you, what makes Kevin Shirley your producer of choice?
You two have been working together for a long time.
Yeah, Kevin, well, yeah, we couldn't find anybody else and he's cheap. No, we tend to stick with we tend to stick with somebody that we're used to working with, mainly because we're a very odd bunch to work with. I mean, Maiden's a bit like the Rolling Stones in that we're all quite eccentric in our own little ways.
How so? Like in, nah, I don't like this, or we don't want to do that?
Yeah, or won't do that, or we'll do this, won't do that, you know, that's not how it's done. No, I'm not going to have that plugged in that way. That's always plugged in that way. It has been for 20 years. It stays like that, you know. So we've always been like that. I mean, you know, we go to these big studios and record albums in the Bahamas and wherever we do them, and spend huge amounts of money on big studios. We probably don't need to. We could probably make records in our bedroom like everybody else does now. But we're Iron Maiden. We couldn't do that. You know, it just wouldn't be Iron Maiden, you know. It's like, poof, you know, I mean.
So you're not taking your own plane at Force One?
No. We're not taking the big airplane out with this one. Mainly because in the US and Canada, you know, we've got all the trucks, we've got all the buses. It makes sense to take everything with us by truck and by road, because we're taking the PA and the lights and things. But when we use the, you know, Ed Force One, it comes into its own, because we're going from one continent or one country to another country. So that's why it really works. You know, we can connect the world geographically and go right the way around the world like a big snake, which is very difficult to do conventionally, because the cargo and the traffic flows don't necessarily go where you want them to go. So you end up having to wait for weeks while your equipment arrives and it goes to customs. And, you know, we can go from somewhere in Africa to somewhere in the Middle East with one day in between and do show, travel day, show, travel day, show, India, travel day, show, Australia, travel day, the other side of Australia. You can't do that any other way except by how we've designed it. Well, you can, but it would cost about 5 or 10 times the amount, you know, because you'd have to charter a separate plane for your equipment and a separate plane for your, you know, for the band. We've managed to be very clever and plug the two things together.
Well, I know your fans will definitely get this record, Bruce. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
It was truly a pleasure.
Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.